optimistic about winning this game right here. Marchand!
To have success and to win with a team like this is, you know, an incredible feeling. I think all of Canada kind of gets behind that, and they all feel the enjoyment of that, feel the success from that. You know, all of Canada will be celebrating tonight.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, it's time to present the World Cup of Hockey 2016 Championship Trophy to Team Canada. Accepting the trophy is team captain Sidney Crosby.
I just think about serial winners, and that's what he is. He just wins. Sid's unbelievable. He's great to be around. You know, I've been real lucky. I've been around him now 3 times. We win every time. A lot of people on the outside just think it's easy. You got to deliver every time, right?
Well, I mean, you know, the opportunities get less and less as you get older, and you realize, especially with a group like this, it doesn't come around all the time. And
welcome back, hour number 3. Welcome to the weekend, Melnick in the afternoon, TSN 690. Friday scrum edition of Habs Lunch in its entirety between 6 and 7. Then the Blue Jays and Red Sox at Fenway at 7 o'clock with Rod Francis and Mitch Gallo. Mitch Melnick with you, Dave Van Horn, in about 30 minutes on Vin Scully. This is the final weekend of Vin Scully's brilliant career. Stefan Waite, goaltending coach for Canada. And, of course, 2-time Stanley Cup winner with the Chicago Blackhawks will be joining us in just a few minutes as well. But right now,
Hockey Insider Pierre Maguire, brought to you by Ye Olde Orchard Pub, with 6 locations in and around Montreal. YeOldOrchard.com.
Good afternoon, Pierre. How you doing?
I'm doing well, Mitch. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. I was thinking about you yesterday at about this time. I said, would you be shocked if Canada lost to Europe in Game 2? And you said, yep. And the conversation that we were going to have today was kind of feeling a little different than it obviously is with 3 minutes to go in the hockey game. Can you explain what happened? The brilliance of Jonathan Toews was obvious, but how did they give up a goal like that?
Well, first of all, the turnover at the far blue line, I think it was Alex Pietrangelo that forced the turnover, and then the quick up and the smart change. You see what happens is Marchand comes off the bench. He's got the live legs. He's probably communicating with Toews verbally. And Toews makes this high-skill, smart, hockey IQ kind of a play. And Marchand jumps in with the live legs and snaps it. And the puck wasn't shot low. It was shot high, exactly what Team Canada's coaches told him they had to shoot on Yaro Halak. So, I mean, you talk about the deciding play of the game. But to me, the big thing was the Europeans were very well coached. They turned it into a sloppy racetrack kind of a game. Canada had a hard time dealing with that, like most teams would, especially skilled teams, but they found a way. So there's no more games. Now we can get back to the NHL.
Right. And by the way, the goaltender was pretty good.
Yeah, no, Yaro played well, and Carey Price was very good.
Well, that's what I meant.
For Team Canada. Yeah, both goalies were good, but Carey stepped up when he had to, absolutely.
Pierre, we touched on this in the Friday scrum. I think it was the Friday scrum about Patrice Bergeron. It's uncanny, right, how these guys who have this reputation, when it's needed most, they reinforce the reputation. And you've got Marchand and Bergeron who scored 2 goals when the Bruins beat Vancouver to win the Cup. They both scored big goals in that comeback against Toronto. You've got Crosby, obviously. Why, when Patrice Bergeron was 18 years old, and he already played in the World Hockey Championship before he played in the Junior Championship, how did he last to the second round, forgetting the fact that the Canadians missed him in his own backyard? How did he go that late?
Well, he played in Acadie Bathurst, number one, so it wasn't like it was right in Montreal's backyard. He's a kid from right outside Quebec City. But Scott Bradley deserves a lot of the credit there, who's now an assistant GM with Boston. He's a scout that really leaned on it. Bergeron actually made the Bruins as an 18-year-old, and believe it or not, he actually made it in one of his last preseason games was right in the Bell Center, and he put on a spectacular show. Rod would have to look at the line score for him in that game, but I was there watching and evaluating that game, and that's where Patrice basically made the team as an 18-year-old, so he deserves a lot of credit there. I think the one thing is, people thought his skating wasn't up to par. People didn't think he was a big bone player. They thought he was lean and not overly large. And he didn't have gigantic numbers. He had solid numbers, but he didn't have gigantic numbers. To me, the biggest thing that stood out when I first watched him is hockey sense. when you have a brain that works the game like his can, it doesn't matter if you're the biggest guy. It doesn't matter if you're the fastest guy. It doesn't matter if you're the most skilled guy. Your brain's going to get you through all the tough times. And he's so disciplined. He's just such a proud man. He never fouls up on anything. He never makes a bad decision.
So if you were a scout that was assigned to Bergeron's area and you really like him and you're filing a report or you're emailing or you're talking to your GM and you're pushing for him, I mean, how could that scout, whoever he was, if he made the argument, how could he have been overruled given what he saw?
Well, I mean, I don't know, because you never know how guys sometimes... A scout will have an opinion on a player, and somebody in the draft room will say, no, you're wrong. We don't like that guy. He's not our type of player. Or another time, a scout may say, you know what, I'm a bit concerned because he's not really quick, and we're trying to go into being a quick team. So sometimes that stuff happens. I will tell you this. I'll never forget the day that the Pittsburgh Penguins drafted Marcus Naslund, and the player picked just before him was Alexei Kovalev. But on Pittsburgh's draft list, they had Marcus Naslund and Kovalev basically side by side. But the scouts got a little bit jittery, and they were bailing out on taking Marcus Naslund. They were actually wanting to take a player from the Ontario Hockey League. And you know, I remember Scotty Bowman turning to me and Craig Patrick and Greg Malone, and we all kind of came together. And Scotty eventually overruled the scouts, and Marcus Naslund was a heck of a draft pick, went on to have an unbelievable career. The guy that was taken after Marcus that Pittsburgh wanted to take really never played in the league. So it shows you how stuff can happen.
Pierre, I saw the headline just before putting the World Cup to bed. I didn't read the whole story, but it's the headline says what people want to know. Donald Fehr of the Players Association confirming there will, in fact, be a World Cup again in 2020. That has to be bad news for any of us who are hoping to see players at the Olympics. They can't possibly do both in this window, can they?
I don't know. I just don't know the answer to that. This is obviously something that I think a lot of players are going to talk to Donald Fehr about. It starts with the European-born players. I would say the Swedes and the Russians and the Finns in particular, and probably the Czechs and the Slovaks are going to want to go to the Olympics. I don't know this, so I'm just talking out of my own mouth here. I can't think that a lot of guys are really happy not being able to play for their own country. I can't think that guys that played for Team North America were not that excited or were that excited not to play for their respective country, whether it's Canada or the U.S. And I got to think that some of the guys playing for Team Europe wish they would have played for their own country. I don't know how they're going to massage this thing through. I really don't know.
Okay. And again, Stefan Waite will join us in just a couple of minutes with Pierre McGuire, Dave Van Horn in about 20 minutes on Vin Scully's last weekend in front of the microphone. Now, Pierre, we know you're not on Twitter.
No, sir.
But you are trending on Twitter.
Uh-oh.
You were on radio in Vancouver. How dare you? Saving your best stuff for Vancouver radio.
What did I do?
What did you say on Vancouver radio earlier today?
I don't know. It was a far-reaching thing.
Yeah. Pierre McGuire tells us the Ducks are in trade talks with an Eastern Conference team to unload a significant contract and get room for RFAs.
No. What I said was the Ducks have definitely been in talks with Eastern Conference teams, not one, with teams in the East. And that's no secret. That's been going on since the draft.
Well,
that's not, I say this with respect to whomever put that out there.
Well, that's one of the guys you speak to on TSN in Vancouver. It's Blake.
Yeah, but it's not, that's something that's been going on since since the draft, if anybody's
there. Well, you're talking about, if you know, Gallo, Cam Fowler's name, it came up when we were there.
When we're at the draft, it came up with the Canadians, Cam Fowler's name quite a bit.
I didn't give a name. So I actually said when I was asked about it, I said, out of respect to the whole process, I don't think it's appropriate to put players' names out there that are being rumored. So that's basically what I said. So yeah, that's fine. That's no secret. That if it's Cam Fowler, it's Cam Fowler, but I didn't say that. His name's been out there a lot.
But they have to find a way, right, with Lindholm and Raquel.
Well, that's the biggest thing. I don't know what kind of money Raquel's going to get. Lindholm is another matter. Lindholm's a really good player. He's a really, really good player. So is Ricard Raquel. But the truth of the matter is, if they want to keep both, they're probably going to have to move somebody. I don't think that takes rocket science to figure that out.
First taste of NHL action, how'd you feel out there?
I felt good, actually. I felt like I got some confidence in the first period, like did a couple hits and just got confidence. And but it was a tough game, and I was kind of tired in the third period because just pace was just, everybody was flying, yeah.
How about that from Sergachev? He scored a big goal. He looked good. He was hitting people, but he himself admitted he kind of ran out of steam in the third period.
It's what we talk about with young players all the time. But again, I think we talked about this yesterday. He's somebody that's not going to look out of place. The problem for a lot of young players, and he's not the only one, is dealing with the everyday up and down of being an NHL player. You've got to be mentally strong. You've got to be physically strong. And you have to be so receptive to discipline and being coached. And if you don't have all those things going for you and you think you know more than everybody else, you're not going to make it as a young kid. It's impossible. It doesn't happen. So he looks good. He sounds good. He's realistic. Not surprised. I think, again, we talked about this yesterday. And this is the Canadian scouting staff deserves some credit on this player because a lot of people thought he was a top five player in the draft last year. And clearly, you know, the Canadians got a real good player here, no question.
You know, Morgan Rielly made it at 18. Ekblad made it at 18. I believe Cam Fowler, who we mentioned, played in the league at 18. How do you know, though, if it's the right move to keep the guy long-term? Because I always think back to the Leafs.
It better be the right move.
Well, I always think back to the Leafs,
well,
right?
Luke Shen.
They drafted Luke Shen and they ruined him.
Exhibit A. That's Exhibit A, Luke Shen. He was ruined. And I totally understood at the time why they wanted to do that with Luke Shen. Their team wasn't very good. They were going through a managerial situation. Cliff Fletcher was coming in to be the interim manager. Ronnie Wilson was a coach. Ronnie and his staff really thought they could help Luke. I didn't agree with it at the time. I said so publicly on this radio station and other radio stations and on national TV. But Luke should have gone to Ottawa. He would probably have been one of the captains in the World Junior team, would have given him another year of development with a very good team in Kelowna. But he was rushed in, and he's never been the same player since. Never been the same player. He never attained to the level he should have. Never.
All right, now talking about an 18-year-old on the blue line, an 18-year-old front is a different situation. But I always point to, and you said it right out of the gate, Guillaume Latendresse, Pierre. And I really sincerely believe this, and some people... You know, I've said this before, and people looked at me when I ran into them afterwards. Guillaume Latendresse had great hands. He would have been a perfect left winger for Saku Koivu if he was just a little more prepared for the NHL. He had better hands than Chris Higgins.
No question. No question. But he couldn't skate like Christopher Higgins. So there had to be – I'll never forget this because you know how strong I was on them sending Latendresse back. There was somebody that actually said publicly that he has nothing more to learn in junior hockey. And I go, I respectfully disagree, only because I was just at the World Junior Hockey Championship in Vancouver. And there were games where he only got one or two shifts. He wasn't able to dominate a World Junior. So if you can't dominate a World Junior as an 18-year-old, you're not going to be a star in the NHL, and you're going to struggle to play in the NHL. Big time struggle to play in the NHL.
Here's Sid with a step. Crosby on Chara without the helmet. Back to the point. Burge to the score! Patrice Bergeron, the deflection. And it's tied at one on a power play goal. Here's Taves. Canada's thinking about winning this game right here. Marchand scores! Oh my goodness, Jared Marchand! Shorthanded. 2-1 Canada.
Chara just shook hands with Marchand and Bergeron. That's got to be a great feeling for everybody. Obviously, Chara's hurt right now because the team didn't win, but to see that big guy play that well and see his two teammates play that well for Canada, it must mean a lot to the big guy.
The winner of the World Cup of Hockey 2016 MVP Award is Sidney Crosby.
Now, Pierre, I know you want to look ahead to the NHL schedule underway in a couple of weeks, but we got to look back one more time to last night specifically in the World Cup experience. Joining us right now, Mitch Melnick, Rod Francis, Mitch Galloway just arrived back home in Montreal following the festivities in Toronto last night. Goaltending coach for Team Canada and, of course, the Montreal Canadiens. Stefan Waite, welcome back. How you doing?
Hi, guys. Thank you. I'm doing very well. Very well. A little bit tired, but... I'm doing very well.
Yeah, I'm going to guess that you're doing better than some of the younger players on the team are right now.
Maybe, I don't know.
Can you say hello to Pierre Maguire? Pierre, Stefan?
Hey, Pierre, how you doing, my man?
I'm very well, Stefan. Hey, by the way, Mitch, best free agent signing the Canadians had was signing him away from Chicago.
That was a big one. That was definitely a big one. A lot of fans, as you know, Stefan, were really concerned about how Carey Price would look. I would describe a lot of them as being somewhat tense, especially after the first pre-tournament game when you could tell there was a lot of rust on him. How confident were you that we were going to see the Carey Price that we ended up seeing?
Oh, that's easy for me to say it now, but I had no doubt, especially in the 1st of July, and I went on the ice with Carey for 3 days, he was perfect. Everything was perfect. No doubt in his mind. No fears. He felt very, very, very good. So from there, it was just about have repetition and practice and stuff. And so about that first game in Columbus, he was, of course, he was rusty. He looks like a goalie didn't play for 9.5 months. So. The first thing I said after the game to the coaches, Team Canada coaches, said, "Hey, guys, don't worry. He's back. He's going to be ready when it's count." And he just got better every game he played. So I'm very proud of him. He worked so hard for the last 10 months. And he's not on top of his game yet, but he'll be close. But, wow, he was... last night impressed me a lot. He played his best game at the right moment, and no, I'm very proud of him.
Well, geez, he made 64 saves in the last two games. Where is he? What's missing?
Yeah, what's missing? No, there's just there's a couple of stuff, timing stuff, and there's a couple things I won't talk about it, mm-hmm. but that's just between Carey and
right.
me. But, you know, the most important thing is physically everything is perfect. And for the rest, he'll be ready for when we start on October 13th.
How cool was it for you to be part of this and to know that the two goalies who played, Carey and Corey Crawford, you're so much involved in their careers?
Oh, that was very, very. First of all, it was a great honor to me to be part of that that coaching staff with Team Canada. That's a great honor, and to work with Corey and Carey and Braden Holtby, that was very special. With Corey, it was like we worked together yesterday. There was nothing changed. That was a great experience. Even with Braden Holtby, who I didn't know as a person. I got a lot of respect for this guy now. I know why he won the Vezina Trophy last year. He works so hard. He's so quick. He's a great teammate. And I felt bad for him. You know, he's the Vezina Trophy last year winner, and he didn't play 1 minute in that tournament. So that's unbelievable how deep we were in net.
With Stefan Waite, goaltending coach for Team Canada, victorious at the World Cup, and, of course, the Montreal Canadiens back in Montreal on Melnick in the afternoon on TSN 690. Mitch Melnick, Rod Francis, Mitch Gallo. Pierre, go ahead.
Well, you've been around winners, Steph, especially in Chicago, and Jonathan Toews and how he leads. What'd you learn about Shea Weber that's going to help the Montreal Canadiens?
Oh, what a leader. He doesn't talk a lot in the locker room, but just his presence, that's unbelievable. He might be one of the most respected guy in that locker room. So, and that's exactly what we need in Montreal. That kind of guys. He reminds me Carey. Doesn't talk a lot, but everything he's doing, his preparation, practice, the way he think, the way he talk to the players, is very impressive. And that's like I said before. That's exactly what we need in Montreal, and that's going to help a lot our young players, our leaders, Carey and everyone. That's a huge, huge addition for us.
Too bad you can't bring his partner Vlasic with him.
Yeah, that's too bad, but no, he'll be fine. We'll be fine. No, he's a great leader. Same thing. That's the things that impressed me the most with Team Canada, the leaders, The Taves, like Pierre said, the Crosby, the Webbers, Carey Price, Bergeron, those guys, they are unbelievable in their game preparation. They're the best, and I know why they're the best now.
Rod?
Stefan, Mike Babcock a couple days ago called Carey Price among the calmest players he's ever been around. Does that have an effect on players in front of him, defensemen, shooters? Does that kind of ability to stay calm, does that spread out from the goal crease and affect the rest of the team on the ice?
There's no doubt about that. And that's and for me, as a goalie coach, that's one of the most important things. I ask my goalie to have that kind of presence, to be their body language is so important for the rest of the team. For me, that's huge. And Carey is pretty good at it. And like I said before, that's one of the things I ask every goalie I coach, your body language all the time. Just never show weakness, never show your two eye. Your game preparation, I want my goalies to be the best prepared guys in the locker room. I want their teammate feel they're ready, more ready than anybody else in the locker room. That's so important for the rest of the team.
Mitch Gallo.
Stefan, any way you could describe the pace of the World Cup of Hockey, and while you're preparing Carey Price to get ready for the regular season, how you're going to kind of prepare him to, I guess, decrease the speed of hockey for preseason action?
Yes, but with the practice, and you kind of have a 1 week practice before we start the season. So I think that timing, that adjustment will come with the practice, and I'm not worried about that. And you know what? That's the best thing happened for Montreal Canadiens. That's Carey Price played at that World Cup. That after 10 months out, that's the best preparation you can have, and that's very positive for Montreal Canadiens.
What kind of workload do you have in mind now? Because I think you already stated in the offseason that you guys wanted to lessen his workload in the regular season, injury or no injury. Do you have a number in mind?
Well, for sure, we got a number in mind, and we got a plan. But last year too, we had a plan that everybody knew what happened. The biggest thing is the communication between Carey and me and the coaching staff. That's how you feel every day. Okay, you're tired. Okay, we can jump to practice. We can have a day off, an optional. That's all about communication. But we got a number in mind for sure, and that's very important to have a very good backup, and I don't want Carey to play 65-77 games. That's too much for not just for Carey, for any number one goalie in the league. That's too much. So we got a number in mind, but like I said, the most important thing is the communication, how you feel. And every day we got that communication between Carey and I.
Finishing up with Stefan Waite, goalie coach for the Canadiens and Team Canada. Dave Van Horn on Vin Scully in just a few minutes. Final one, Pierre McGuire.
What's the best fit, Stefan Waite, for Carey Price in terms of being a backup? What's the best fit? Is it relationship? Is it skill? Is it work habits? What's the best fit for Carey Price in terms of who should be his backup?
Oh, the best fit... first of all, that we need a guy who's going to accept his role. That's very important. And we need a guy who's going to win hockey game for us. The backup, if your backup don't play for minimum 500, you miss the playoffs. So that's so important. You need a guy who's going to, for sure, communicate well with Carey, work with Carey every day. But we got those two guys with Condon and Montoya. They're two great guys, and they... But for me, the most important things as a backup is your work ethic, because you play maybe, I don't know, three, four games a month. So we got to work and work every day extra before practice, after morning skate. There's basically no day off for those guys. So that's the number one ethic is so huge. And those two guys, I don't know Montoya a lot, but I heard a lot of great stuff about him. He's been one of the best backup for the last couple of years in the league. So we're in good shape with Mike Condon and Al Montoya.
Stefan Waite, félicitations, and thank you very much for taking time out of your first day back in Montreal. All the best.
That's my pleasure, guys. Thank you.
Pierre, thanks so much, Pierre.
Oh, my gosh, my pleasure. You were just talking to a winner. That guy's a winner. And you know what's scary? I'm going to back him up on this. One of the great treats I have is to get to go around and watch all these teams practice in the morning. I watch him cultivate Corey Crawford. And you talk about the extra work both before and after practice. Stephon Wade put it in with Corey Crawford, and that's why you see what you see it from Corey Crawford right now. And that's one of the reasons why I asked. You got two workers and, you know, obviously the backup, potential backup goalies. But the best thing for those kids is to work with Stephon Wade, because if they do, they're going to get better in a hurry, both of them.
Have a great weekend, Pierre. Thank you.
Thanks a lot, boys. Take care.
Seconds left. Canada pours off the bench. They reign supreme in the hockey world and the World Cup of Hockey. What a finish.
Tough to think about being on a stage like this and being put in a position to play with Bergie and Sid. It's unbelievable. I think, you know, it just gives me a little more exposure, but it gives everyone that, and it's just been a lot of fun, and I've enjoyed every second of it.
The always lovable Brad Marchand.